Hello and greetings to you on this first week of May, another month and another time and opportunity to go deep in our faith with this study on Our Soul Waits by Marva Dawn. And chapter 10 is the chapter we're on today, and I absolutely am engaged and immersed deeply in these words, powerful, connective, heartfelt words in chapter 10. And the title of that chapter is Our God Records Our Tears. Now, I don't know about you. I think about the text of God knowing the number of hairs on our head, right? And if God would even care for the birds of the air, then how much more would God care for us? But I had forgotten these words from Psalm 56 about how our God records our tears. And so I'm going to read Psalm 56, verses 8 through 11, and then Psalm 56, again, verses 8 and 9. So here's Psalm 56, 8 to 11. Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere human beings do to me? And now from the NRSV on just verses 8 and 9 from that same psalm. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. Yes, that God is for me. Marva speaks eloquently on this as she writes that Yahweh cannot get us out of God's mind, that God is continually listening, caring, comprehending, walking with, ever present in our world and with us, both as individuals and as community and, of course, world. So this Hebrew text here in this psalm begins with a word that we could use, which is wandering or tossings or perhaps musings or even wrestlings. And all of that is what we do in faith, especially in our struggles, especially when the chips are down and times are tough. We wonder, we muse, we dream, we toss about, we are restless in our sleep. But this psalmist wants to remind us that God, yes, Yahweh has taken account of all of that. Again, that God knows our deepest yearnings, that God connects with our sources and places of pain. And so Yahweh observes us up close, like a doctor paying attention to our medical condition, not just looking from the outside, but knowing the blood results, the CT scan, the result of the x-ray, to be able to pinpoint exactly what's going on. God does that with our spirit and our heart and our mind and our soul. God knows our agitation and our lament. And the psalmist goes on to say that God's kept a record or account of that because God cares so much about us. In the midst of our confusion and aimless wanderings and agitations and tossings and lamentings and misery, the Lord is taking record. It's not in vain. It's not lost. God does not look past that. God engages. And God understands. And then, of course, the words here is that God has counted our tears. And it goes on that the command to God is to put my tears in your bottle. That's an arresting image, isn't it? That God takes the tears that fall from our face, and each tear is placed in a bottle, accumulated, eventually with a top put on it, looking back over the years or the experiences or the days or the moments when those tears were too heavy to bear. And God has counted each one of those. The poet here has asked God to keep all those tears in a wineskin, in this bottle, because they matter. They've been part of our transfiguring, part of our shaping, part of our forming. And so she goes on to say that this picture of God counting those tears and bottling them up, it amuses us perhaps, and maybe even comforts. Imagine God's huge wine cellar filled with rows and rows upon rows of wineskins, each one labeled with the name of an individual. And when that person cries, Yahweh catches all the tears and stores them in the right flask. She went on to say sometimes she thinks that God has used at least 70 flasks just for her. How about for you? How much has God had to count with you and for you? Because the promise is, no matter how extensive our bewilderments or wonderings or weepings, God has cared intensely about all of them. You see, ultimately, tears cannot overwhelm us. The tears will not consume us or wash us away. The tears are a sign and a symbol of being fully alive, being fully present, being fully engaged with the hurts and hopes of people, of yourself, and the world. And the concluding phrase of verse 9 in this psalm proclaims even more assurance. When it goes on to say, "This I know, that God is for me," we might not know any other comfort in the troubles of our lives, but this is not an empty promise. God is for us. And I don't know about you, but I need that constant reminder, because when the world is feeling like an overwhelmed place, when the situations are tense, we're not knowing what to do next, how to pick ourselves up and move forward again, to know that God is for us, that there is no empty promise that flows from God, but that God will do what God says, and that is to raise up God's people, to raise you up. You do not have to do that work alone. God is with you, and God is for you. You have been chosen by God. You are not alone. God is for you. Declare that. Say it out loud. Over and over and over, God is for you. You see, the Apostle Paul does that as well in Romans chapter 8, when he wrote, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will God not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things?" If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Because God is going to win out. God will remain victorious in this world and in the life to come. Now, we know in our struggles we can feel lonely, we can grieve, and at times we say, "Is anyone out there? Is anyone out there who can understand?" The psalmist wants to know that, yes, God is out there. And that God again comes close, and that God is present and gracious with us and for us each and every day of our lives. And so today, I want you to think about this God who remains close. And I want you to work on having a vision of sitting down with Jesus and having these conversations that need to be had. Again, through tears, through crying, and not just light crying, but maybe deep consternation in the crying, lamenting, even yelling a little bit, if that's what it takes. But a vision of sitting down with Jesus, and as you pour those things out, seeing this vision of Jesus gathering up those tears, bottling them up, and then drying those tears from our faces, giving us the comforting hope and promise that God is with us and for us. And with that, we can live in gratitude and joyful acclamation even. We can live faith and be bold in faith, even as tears fall. And so a few questions for further meditation in these next couple days. Number one, when in your spiritual life have you felt like a wanderer? Number two, how can you be sure that God knows and observes your tossings and your lamentings and your wrestlings? Number three, how does it affect you to know that God cares about all the littlest details of your life? That God is that intimately involved? How does that affect you? That God cares about those little details of your life? And then number four, why is it comforting to think that God would keep all your tears in a bottle? Why do you think that is a comforting image for us to consider? Well, as you pray through that, and as you have that vision of Jesus sitting down with you in a shared conversation of lament and great hope, may you experience God's joy, knowing that you're not alone, that people are here, people have been brought into your life, and God is here. Until next time, be well.